We have heard a very refreshing and needful, instructive sermon. And I tell you, it fit what I needed. I appreciate Brother Vaughn. I fell in love with him the moment I heard him preach the first time. And I've not got to see him in quite a few years. And I often think about him. We've shared some of the same things in our lives. We're both Primitive Baptist preachers. We're both diabetics. And he worked in a very stressful position in law enforcement. And I'm incarcerated in a mental hospital and getting ready to be discharged at the end of December. I'm finally calling it quits and looking forward to it. There was a fellow a long time ago who made this statement. He said, "Man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble." Job said that a long time ago. You know, Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Some people say, well, no, Genesis. No, Job is the oldest book in the Bible, is generally what Bible scholars say, and I think there's good reason to believe that. But Job lived a long time ago. But he said that man was of few days. I had a great, 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 great five. I think that's five. I had a fifth great grandfather that lived to be 111 years old. It was verified. It wasn't just a rumor. It was verified because of some historical incidents that happened. But anyway, he lived to be 111 years old and had 22 children. That was from three different wives, but nevertheless, he had 22 children, and he lost his right leg when he was 11 years old. He got a pitchfork stuck in it, and he got infected, and they had to remove his leg, so he was known as Peg Leg for a long time, and he lived to be 111. I don't think that's going to be passed down through through the DNA or whatever. I'm 68, and I just don't think I'm going to make it to 111. I'm the supposedly baby of my family, but there was three children born after I was, and there was a pair of twins that were born dead, I had a sister and a brother. And then I had another little brother that was born and just lived a couple hours. And he was gone. And my family was poor and didn't have much and lived way out in the woods. By the way, they lived in Shelby County, Alabama. Anybody ever heard of that? My daddy was working in a sawmill, and they didn't have much at all, and so they buried my little brother in a shoebox. And I know where he's buried, but he doesn't have a tombstone, because I don't know the exact location. I know the cemetery where they placed him in that shoebox. So Grandpa Belk lived 111 years old. And my little brother, who never had a name, just live for a few hours. Time is really something to think about, isn't it? We deal with it all the time. Brother Gene mentioned there wasn't a clock, and that's good. I like that. But you know, we're always dealing with these clocks and calendars and journals and just all kinds of different ways that we try to keep up with the passing of time. We deal with it. Every day we're timely creatures. Even Jesus understood what time was. He was a timeless being that came into a timely world.
That's right.
And he the deeds that he did while he was in this world and he had his public ministry. He dealt with time and had to deal with time. And he dealt with it. And we deal with it. Listen to what old Moses said. You know, Moses lived to be 120 years old. And listen to what Moses said. Well, I want to get that first verse and then we'll skip on down. But he said, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Aren't you thankful for that, dear little child of God?
Yes, sir.
That the Lord is your dwelling place. And he was the dwelling place of our forefathers and foremothers. He was their dwelling place. And when we draw the last breath and leave this world, he'll be the dwelling place of those that follow. Because he ever lives. This is what Moses said. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Can you imagine? Soon cut off, and described by a man that lived to be 120 years old. But it's, and I dare say that none of us here are nearing that age. We're all completely far, pretty far away from 120. But he was 120, and he used this expression. So teach us to number our days. Was he saying, Lord, help me to figure out exactly how long that I will live? No, he wasn't doing that. He could not do that. And you and I cannot do that because none of us are given that knowledge. The Lord chose not to give it to us, and I'm glad that he did. That's something that that's beyond us to know, and we don't need to know. But we do know, we do need to know how to number our days in the way that Moses was talking about. And what was he referring to? If he wasn't referring to the being able to tally up the total numbers of the days that he would live, what was he referring to? Well, he went on to explain it. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. This 90th Psalm that is a prayer of Moses. And he had the desire, even at the age of 120, still had that desire to reach out and be busy and occupied doing those things that were most important to do. We need that too. That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That we might conduct ourselves like children of God while we live here in this world, and that we might refrain from doing those things that we ought not do, because those things that we ought not do cannot be undone. None of them can. I've been thinking a whole lot lately, and for a long time, about 20 years, I offended a young brother. And he went away sorrowful, and he went away wounded. And I could tell by the expression on his face that I destroyed something in that young man. And I don't know where he's at, and I don't know whether I'll ever see him again. But in my mind, so many times, I wish that I could go back and apologize and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. But I can't do that. Never will be able to do that. I can't go back and say, I'm sorry. But you know, that's a lesson for all of us to learn. There's things that we do here in this world that we can never take back. And I can't take that back. So what do I do? Oh, I've got him on my prayer list.
And I pray for him every day. I don't know where he's at, what part of the country he's at, whether he's living, I don't know. But I pray for him that the Lord will manifest his sweet presence to that young man that I hurt. And just like a lot of things I've done, I'm just totally, totally ashamed of. And I can't go back. But I want to learn the lesson that Moses has for us to learn. Applying our hearts unto wisdom. Isaac Watts was one of our old songwriters that we really love. And if you ever read anything about the history of Isaac Watts, you know that back in the days that Isaac was a young man, they would sing psalms, and it's pretty hard. If you've ever tried to sing a psalm with our musical notation, it just doesn't fit. And Isaac didn't like the singing in the church where he was at. He didn't like it. He was a young man, and guess what his dad said? If you can do any better, go for it. And so Isaac did, and he wrote a lot of songs, and a lot of songs he wrote we sing today in the Old Baptist Church, and one I dearly love puts it like this: when I survey the wondrous cross, when I survey, and you know, he wasn't talking about that piece of wood that the Lord was placed upon. He's talking about the whole scheme of the love of Christ for his people. He's talking about all of that. That's what it's in reference to. When I surveyed the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Now, if I had a subject matter that we're referring to, we're talking about passing the keeping of time and what to do with time. Since I'm thinking of retiring at the end of the year, I'm already planning some things. I may not ever see it, but I'm planning some going some places that I previously could not go because of lack of time, and I'm trying to plan out things to be able to handle time a little bit better. But we're all encompassed by time. It surrounds us, and we all have to deal with it. And there's some things that we should be doing with our time to make the best use of it. When I survey the wondrous cross. Brother Ben, my mind hinders me sometimes, but was that your line of work? Were you a surveyor? Or?
Yes.
That's what I thought. You know, when Isaac Watts wrote that song and talked about surveying the cross, and I've seen some surveyors, you know. By the way, one of my ancestors was in the Pioneer, you remember the Lewis and Clark expedition, and they went out and one of my ancestors was the Clark man, and I have to use a GPS to get to a lot of places. And I'm glad that he's not around. He would probably make fun of me for using the GPS. But, you know, a surveyor, they look at that line, and I don't know exactly how to express it. Brother Ben would know, but they have to be very meticulous to do that kind of work. You can't just do it in a poor fashion, but you've got to really aim at your object. And when you do those measurements and everything, they have to be pretty, pretty solid. We need to survey the things of God. Focus in on those things that we see in the Word of God. And when we find those things, and I guarantee you, when I was a young preacher, I wanted everybody to think that I had an answer for everything. Well, I'm 68 now, and I guarantee you I do not have an answer for everything. There's a lot of things here that evade me. But I'm still surveying. I'm still focusing in on these things. I want more knowledge. I want to learn more.
Amen.
I need to learn more. I need to spend more time in this blessed book. I need to hear what it says, and I need to be able to apply it to my life. I need it. Teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Anyway, Isaac, I get stranded on these preaching journeys, but Isaac, he was a short man. He was not even 5 feet tall. And according to what I've read about him, he was a very homely, he wasn't good looking. And he fell in love with this gal. Oh, he thought she was the sweetest thing that he had ever seen. And, you know, he began to think about things, and it would really be a blessing if he could get married to that sweet little thing. But she didn't like his looks. And she made the statement, she said, if the outside of you looked as good as the inside does. But obviously she wasn't willing to put up with a homely man. And so he ended up being an old bachelor. But he wrote some mighty beautiful songs because he loved the Savior. And when I surveyed the wondrous cross, you know, that's what he was doing with his life. He was surveying the wondrous cross, and he was looking around at the beauty that the Lord had for him, and he was rejoicing in it. And even though he didn't get to marry the love of his life, he had someone else that loved him with a perfect love. And one that thought he was beautiful. He created Isaac. And he created you and I also. What a wonderful Lord our Savior was. He loved you with an everlasting love. He loved you before the world was formed. And he'll love you when the world ceases to be. He loves you with a perfect love. And it will never be destroyed. That's something to rejoice in. That's something to survey. And you know, sometimes I like, Brother Ben, I like to give a title to my sermon. Sometimes I give it at the beginning of the sermon, and sometimes I forget and give it in the middle of the sermon. And sometimes I've been known to, at the end of the sermon, tell you what the title of it was. And you say, why do you give it a title? I give it a title where I can remember what I preached about. Somebody asked me what I preached about. If I have a title, I can go back to it. But I wanted to talk to you about don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. You remember the story of the prodigal son? I've read that story so many times and preached about that so many times, heard other preachers preach about it, and it's always just, there's so much there that it can just be preached in so many different fashions. I've heard it preached. And it's such a simple story about a young man that got dissatisfied here in time, and he got dissatisfied at his old fogey father. And he got tired of staying at home, and he wanted to be in with his fair weather friends. And he thought, if I can just get away from the old man here and go out on my own, I'll be a lot better off because I know a lot more than he knows. And he set out to prove it. And it said he packed all that he had. I mean, everything. Every time I tell that story, I talk about my children when they went off to college. And I thought they was taking a lot with them. We had a van at that time, and we took a whole van load. And that didn't hold everything. And I thought, well, how much are they going to take? But they didn't take everything. And guess why they didn't take everything? Because they were planning on coming home. And they did. And my son's still with us. He's 37. Does anybody need a But anyway, he's still with us. He came home. But the young man that took everything that he had and turned around and said, "Bye, you won't see me again." And he went on that long journey, headed away from that dreaded place that he despised. And it looked pretty good for quite a while in time. It was just good old times. And his pals, and they would pat him on the back and, "Oh, you're just a great guy. We love you." And he would look at his billfold, and it was getting thinner and thinner all the time. And suddenly he pulled out the wallet and opened it up, and his fair weather friends were standing there, and he opens up the wallet, and there was nothing there. It was drained dry. It was gone. And his fair weather friends, guess what they said? Do you think they patted him on the back and said, "We'll stand by you, old friend"? No, they said, "Goodbye, we're gone." They went to the next victim. But the young man was impoverished. He had made a fool of himself. Young Jewish boy needed a job so bad and didn't know what to do. And he saw a sign that said, "Pig feeder wanted." Can you imagine? And he looks at himself and thinks, "Can I feed a pig? Is that what it's come to? I'm going to have to feed a pig." But he had to make a living. He had to get some money. So he became a pig feeder. Had to get down and slop the pigs, and he got all that pig slop on him. He was so hungry, though, he began to look at what the pigs was eating, the appetite they had. He began to think, I wish I had something to eat. I could even go for something like that. I'm hungry. But he came to a resolution when he said, the expression is made, when he came to himself. At one time, he thought it was the old man. "That old man, that old fogey father that I live with, he's so old-fashioned. And I know so much more than he." But when he came to himself, sometimes he'd say, "Is that elder brother, my big brother? I can't stand him." But that wasn't his problem. His problem was himself. And he began to think about all the time that he had wasted years. There's an old poem that says, wasted years, oh, how foolish. And he began to think about things, and he came to himself, and he saw where the trouble was. And so he began to devise his plan. He said, I will arise. And I will arise and go to my father. And I'll say, "Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven, and I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And I don't know how capable of walking he was or how long that journey was, but he began to go back home. And the scripture says when he was a great way off, his father saw him and ran to him and had compassion. Oh. And then they had that happy reunion, bring forth the best robe. You know who the best robe belonged to? Belonged to the father. Bring the best robe, put him on him, and put shoes on his feet and a ring on his finger. I love that boy. And he was at home once again. We don't have time to waste here in this old world. Has anybody asked you ever, do you have a spare moment? You know what? Most of us say, "Yeah, I guess we." None of us do. We don't have spare moments. We don't have any spare moments. So we need to focus on them. We need to do as a surveyor does. Take great caution in what is lying out there before us. Look at it carefully. Consider it. Pay attention to it. The Christian life that we live while we live here in time, we only can do that one time, and that's while we're in this world. I want to go to one other character, and we're going to talk about him for a few minutes. But first, I want to go to the book of Ephesians. Brother Gene preached just right above this, and I wanted to drop down just another verse where the Apostle Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." All right, it's laid out very plainly for us. To walk circumspectly means to pay attention all around you. What is going on everywhere in this old world? And there's so much that we see. If you watch the news and you see all that fake news, and then the fake news is bad enough, but the real news comes on there and it's terrible. But you know what's real good for us? Instead of focusing in on those things and occupying our mind on those things, pick up this book and look at it. It'll tell us about fake news, and it'll tell us about that real news, and it will explain it to us, and it'll talk about a better day. It'll tell us about our home in heaven. This is not where we're staying at. This is not our world forever. We're here just for a little time. All right. You remember Peter the Apostle? He walked with his Lord and saw his Lord do so many wonderful things. Those disciples that got to walk with him here in time, they were so blessed to see their Lord work in this timely world. One of the things that our Lord mentioned, or one of the elders mentioned, that our Lord did while he lived here in time, he saw a little child, Brother Ben, and he reached down and got that little boy and lifted him up and set him down next to him. And when I think about that, you know, that's what the Lord did for you.
Amen.
He reached down and got you. And he set you next to him. But you know what a blessed little boy that must have been. Can't you imagine in years later when he got to be an old man? Don't you imagine what he told his grandchildren? I want to tell you about the time that the King of Kings and the Lord reached down and picked me up and set me next to him. Wouldn't you like to be able to tell that story? Well, guess what? You can. You can tell. You can tell everywhere you go. You can tell about that friend that reached down and picked you up. But I want to close with some things about Peter, the apostle, that walked with the Lord. Peter was apparently the oldest apostle. Bible scholars generally say that Peter was probably the oldest, and John was probably the youngest. John may have been as young as 15 years old. But Peter was an older man, and he was a fisherman and sort of a rugged character. And, of course, the Lord began to tell his disciples before he died, he began to tell them what his purpose was. And they were so hard-headed that it just did not sink in. You know, it bounced off. They heard it. They heard what the Lord was saying, but they did not understand it. And then when they begin to understand it a little bit, even Peter said, Lord forbid, that, you know, that he didn't want that to be. And the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter was thinking with a natural mind. But Peter finally said, you know, if he said that he would be willing to die too, and he wasn't. That was just some bragging from a fisherman. And he bragged, but when the time came, all of the disciples fled the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, and all of them left. And then, of course, the Lord was arrested, and he was taken and put on trial, and Peter was hiding out in the distance, and he was keeping warm by the devil's fire, and the little maiden pointed at him and said, "You're one of them," and he was hot-headed, you know, and he had a temper outburst, and then another, he was accused again, and he cursed, but the Lord laid eyes on him, and what did he do? He wept bitterly, wept. He saw what a failure he was. He didn't live up to his responsibility that he said that he would never leave his Lord, but he did. Let's not judge him. But I'm glad that later on, he had opportunity to make up for it. At one point, he was ashamed of his Savior and Lord. Afraid, filled with fear because he didn't want to die. Filled with fear. But later on, the later on grace took control. And he began to see how blessed he was. And this is what he instructed the saints of God with. And the instruction, let's let the instruction be with us, because it's left to us. It's written for our benefit, and it's written to us. Let's see what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. This is what Peter said. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Uh-huh. He finally got to the point that he wasn't afraid to tell about his hope and to admit his hope and to confess his hope. And the opportunity also came for him to die a martyr's death. And historians tell us, and I think there's some good evidence for it, they tell us that the Apostle Peter was crucified, but he requested that he be crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified in the same manner as his Savior was. Peter, what he did was he redeemed the time. Time ran out for him physically. And it's going to run out for you and me too. It's going to run out. And the older I get, the more I think about that. It's going to run out. But we need to look to our Lord and Savior and ask Him to give us wisdom to use time in a proper way. And to take that time that the Lord has given us and that breath that He's given us to survey the things of God. Look at them very carefully. And you, by the way, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. When we don't understand, we cry out to our Father, the one who has all wisdom, the one that loves us with an everlasting love, and the one that is coming back to this old world simply because He said that He would. Did you miss the second coming of Christ the other day? Was it the 23rd of September? I mean, you know, some people really got shook up about it, but most people, they've told it so many times that most people just laugh it off now. But, you know, some sweet day, he's coming back. And I don't have to be a prophet to tell you that it's a lot sooner than it ever has been. It's getting closer. You're getting closer, and the Lord is going to come simply because he said, if I go away, I'll come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I want to see him when he comes. And what a blessed day that will be. May all praise and honor and glory be given to our Lord throughout the endless ages of eternity. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.